The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everyone? It's me, Greg Miller. What? No. Let's try again. No, I'm sorry. We're the conversational podcast. We'll keep going. It's a big day. I'm very excited. I just published something. Welcome, everybody, to Podcast Beyond, episode 213. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
Hello.
He only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Xbox on.
And no one else.
Just us, baby.
Man, I haven't, like... That was like a head-on collision with the intro. I didn't even like screw it up a little bit or fumble something. I mean, I freaking smashed through it, and our baby flew through the windshield. And this van full of nuns.
No, I thought you actually did. Oh, hold on a second. I feel like I just lost sound in one of my headphones.
Oh no, I hit the table. We're in rare form today. This is a rare 213, Colin.
I know.
It's the unlucky one.
I need some snare in my headphone. Test.
What is going on with me?
Well,
it looks like it's still working just fine. So
you can't hear anything though.
No, I can hear stuff a little bit. I think I can hear stuff a little bit. Yeah,
you can hear stuff a little bit.
All right, that's good enough.
That's good enough for me.
Okay,
let's keep going.
Big huge show, big huge day, ladies and gentlemen. If you're joining us for the first time, we are IGN's PlayStation Podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. If you need more proof that we're number one in everything PlayStation, we're the first podcast to have our own shirt in PlayStation Home.
Beyond.
If you'd like to download the PlayStation, if you're a PlayStation Home user, even if you're not, just download this for the hell of it. We have the Podcast Beyond shirt, of course, which you know well. You know the logo. Look at your iPad, your Zune, your iTunes. It's right there. You see the little Beyond logo. You're all set. Now you can get that on a shirt in PlayStation Home for absolutely nothing. All you have to do is go to the PlayStation Store, not PlayStation Home. Go to PlayStation Store. Redeem the following code. RTTH5N44T22 RTTH5N44T22.
I'd like to point out you read it twice in a row. That wasn't the code wasn't all those things.
No, correct. Yeah. Got well, it. If you tried to enter it all in the PlayStation, I think you'd figure
probably
out it would.
Yeah,
anyways, you do that. It redeems a male and a female version of the Podcast Beyond shirt. Then you go into PlayStation Home. You put it on your character. You do it. You want to act fast. There's a limited number available.
Tell me about them, Greg.
Limited number available. Only 1 million. That code can only be redeemed a million times, and it's only available for a limited time, 88 years. In 88 years, you will
that's
no longer be able
that's
to use it.
That's completely true, by the way.
It's like Sony was that's mocking real. Us when they gave us the code. There you go. You want to have a shirt? There you go. Make sure you talk to your Sony representative of your district, too, to get a Podcast Beyond avatar on the PlayStation Network as well, because we're pushing for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which would be awesome.
So that's big, huh? Celebrate. Even if you don't use PlayStation Home, download it, because, come on, that's a million. Somebody's got to be watching that going, man, sipping their coffee. Only three people have downloaded this, and it's the guys who host the show.
I didn't download it. Oh, actually, you downloaded it.
Yeah, I downloaded
it for
you. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm excited, though, Greg.
Yeah, it's good.
That's just put me in a good mood today.
I know. Well, PlayStation Home redesign, too. I don't know if that made the Roper Report. I don't want to jump ahead. PlayStation Home officially redesigned today. The new hub thing out in the...
That's not in the Roper Report.
You got sports trivia in there, Colin. Now you can go in there and sports trivia.
I can guarantee you that's not in the Roper Report. Okay, so if you want to talk about it right now...
No, I think we've just talked about it. Okay. PlayStation Home redesigned.
It's on the PlayStation.
Also, I bet you didn't come here... If you're a new listener, you probably didn't come here today because of the Podcast Beyond shirt and PlayStation Home. You probably came here because it's a big giveaway day. First off, the code's available to everybody. Enjoy that. Even though I don't think it works outside of the U.S. Sorry about that. I know, Keza tried to download it over in the U.K. for me this morning, and after her PS3 bricked, she turned it back on, and then it didn't work for her. However, we have two copies of the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition. That's the big one with the Nathan Drake statue, the belt buckle, the steel case. Two of those to give away. Ryan Clements has some headphones, too.
Yeah, I got some stuff to give away as well.
All right.
So it's going to be
Do you know
time.
How you're giving away your stuff?
Nope. And I figured we'd bundle the two headphones with the...
Exactly. So yeah. You get the surround sound. Yep. You'll get some surround sound when you play the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition.
Yeah, these are, well, not necessarily endorsed by Ryan Clements, but they are personally used by Ryan Clements. They are...
See, that sounds weird then. So you use them, you don't like them?
I do like them.
But you're not...
Want to say that I'm professionally endorsing
them. Well, you can
them.
Say, oh, that thing
but
stinks.
But and my audio just came back, so that's good. I have no idea why that happened.
It's because I willed it.
Nice, thanks. As a headphone connoisseur, and I'm not really because I don't use many headphones, but I do really, I'm picky when I do use them. And I like these a lot. These are from the iFrogs audio line. We were sent a bunch of samples, and they were like, hey, you should check out our headphones. And I did. And
you're like,
I
was hell like, no, I'm going to give them away.
Well, no, I mean, I tried them out. I wanted to make sure that they weren't, you know, terrible. And they were not terrible at all. I really enjoy them. And they this is the headphones I'm giving away from the iFrogs line are called Vertex headphones.
Okay.
They're a really nice pair of over-the-ear headphones that are really cushy, so they're pretty comfy. And I'm very impressed by the bass quality of these headphones. Like, you get some fucking kick with these things.
Gotcha.
The treble's good, too.
For when you listen to the Shatter soundtrack.
You should listen to the Shatter soundtrack with this. Now, obviously, these headphones are available for purchase online, but I'm going to package two of them in with these Uncharted bundles. And I have a third one to give away as a consolation prize.
Look at that. All right.
So I have three sets of headphones, and thank you very much to these folks at... I'm just going to give the blanket thank you to iFrogs Audio.
Okay.
But they were the ones that provided
these
headphones.
See, if you like them and you use them, I think you can endorse them. I mean, not... I mean, I endorse cheese pizza all the time.
Yeah,
they don't pay me for
that's
pizza.
That's true. That's true. What I'm saying is
me and Colin paid like normal people last night. We were freaking bums off the street.
Full transparency, I have not been paid to give these away. These were not reviewed. This was a company sending us these as samples. I tried them out. I enjoyed them. And I said, can you send us a few more for a giveaway?
Yeah.
And I did so.
Look at that. You're always thinking, you're always passing along to our friends here, the podcast listeners.
You're passing along the savings.
Yeah. So Vertex, iFrogs Audio, very comfy, great bass. Also, these do have a little microphone attachments, like built right into the cord. So you can use them with your iPhone.
Look at that.
There you go.
Sweet business.
I thought everything with this.
Yeah.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news!
Rock and roll PlayStation news!
Sometimes it's like lightning bolts coming out of our mouths. We're on today. Colin.
There are 13 items on the
Roper Report. Yeah, for 213. You did it like that. Look how clever that is.
It was totally intentional.
Colin Miller.
You know what Taylor Swift's favorite number is? Her lucky number, 13.
Really?
Yeah. I bet she listens to this episode.
Yes,
she wants to win that Collector's Edition Uncharted.
If Taylor
or
Swift,
get the podcast Beyond shirt.
If Taylor Swift listened to Beyond and wrote in saying, man, I have the biggest crush on Greg Miller, what would you do?
I don't know. I don't really think of her like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't think of her... As a human,
I don't want to be. I don't know if I'd be romantically into her. She's age difference. Yeah, I don't know.
How old is
she? Well, she's like what 20 now. I mean, it's not that big of an age difference, but it's I don't know.
Okay, interesting.
I guess I've dated girls younger than her. With it. But I'm saying I don't know. I know her so well through her songs. I would rather enjoy a cup of coffee with her.
Well, I guess you could still do that. I'm not saying something would.
And
have
then
to get
these
weird
new pictures came up the other day. I didn't know what to think.
Really?
I freaked out. I called the only other Taylor Swift fan I know.
There were nude pictures?
There's a girl nude, topless, who looks like Taylor Swift.
It's not confirmed.
I went over these with a fine-tooth comb, let me tell you. And I would say definitely not real.
Okay.
But it did call into question everything I've ever thought.
Yeah, I understand.
Man,
well, that's interesting.
Just imagine. My throat is still sore from doing the heavy metal intro to the Roper Report.
Take a break here. Colin, get it going.
Okay. The biggest news we're saving till last. Because it's going to be...
We already talked about it. We talked about it. PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Podcast
the second biggest piece of news. Number one, Heavy Rain Director's Cut has been revealed. It's set to come out on November 8th in North America and will come bundled with already released DLC.
Jason!
The PlayStation Move patch, a bunch of new art, making of movies, and more. It'll cost $30. There's no word yet on its release in other territories, though I suspect it will come out everywhere.
The bigger no news, new trophy list or not?
That's what I was talking about in the comments.
You have a platinum in it too, right?
I do.
We both have platinums in it. I would happily re-platinum that one.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it was an adventure to platinum that game, but.
Well, did you use a guide or anything?
Yeah, I did. Because there's a very specific way to do it.
The first time through, you go through, a very specific way, and then you double back to just a one part and keep going.
It's like very intricate. You can't screw it up, you know, or you like screw up your save. Yeah. So, not like that you couldn't play the save again, but that like it doesn't remember the things you've done, and then you have to start from an earlier chapter.
Let me take a glance here.
What was the woman's name in that game again? Madison Page. Don't know why I asked, because I knew it.
Yes.
She was a pretty lady.
Yeah, she was. She was digital.
All right. While we're talking about the trophy list, you've left off one of the biggest stories of all time.
What's that?
After 2 years of the Trophy Whore War, you have officially pulled ahead of me.
Oh, that's true.
That's a big day. That's big news. Day. I want to give you a pat on the back.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm like 3 or 4% ahead of you now, I think.
I'm sorry?
I think I'm 3 or 4% ahead of you now. Okay.
What are you at? 80?
99 or...
Oh, then yeah. I'm 95. I synced a couple bronzes last night, no movement. I was like, oh, man.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm right close behind you guys. Right close.
Yeah, how close are you? What are you? What are you
probably level 11 or 12.
You haven't even sunk them.
No, I sink my trophies all the time. I'm actually very paranoid about that. I'm probably more paranoid about trophies than you guys
impossible.
Are.
Impossible. Totally impossible.
No.
Did you see my meltdown the other day?
No. In terms of not wanting anything to be broken or have some sort of weird glitchy trophies, that I never put in anything that's not retail into my PlayStation.
Let me put it for you this way. If for some reason the trophy servers just got erased, I would probably have to consider just retiring to a farm somewhere and never play games again, because I don't know if I could start.
You would
from
never
scratch.
Play any games again?
Nope, just chess.
All right, just chess.
Just chess and, just chess. And Monopoly.
Does chess Monopoly. Have any RPG elements?
You level up your knight.
Yeah, you level up. You can level up a pawn.
You can actually. That's very true.
A pass pawn.
The original
promotion.
RPG. So now we're excited.
En passant. All right. So that's cool. Heavy Rain's a great game. It was 2010 Game of the Year for PlayStation 3 for IGN. I love that game, and you should buy it next week if you haven't already. $30.
Next week? It's out next week?
Yeah, next
week. I didn't even catch that part of the story. That's insane.
Number two, Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition has been announced. It will be released on February 7th in North America and February 10th in Europe. It will come bundled with all four DLC packs, as well as the two weapon and item specific DLC packs. So that's 6 total. The level cap will also be raised to 50, which is fucking awesome. There's no word yet on its price. I assume it'll be like $40. I'm really excited about that. I love New Vegas. I've been waiting to go back and play all the DLC and get the platinum, play it on hardcore mode, so I think I might actually just wait till February. Although, the trouble is that Amalur comes out around that time, and that game's going to be cool. Number three. Are you done?
No,
wow,
I'm not. Actually.
Sorry,
actually,
Dad.
With your Van Halen.
I'm not. Colin.
Don't turn the civilization.
That reminds me of Clayman. That's Clayman's song. Number three, Sony is projecting a big loss for the fiscal year. Originally forecasting an annual loss of $769 million, Sony is now projecting an annual loss of $1.2 billion after losing $346 million last quarter. However, the losses are mostly due to the strong yen and poor television sales. So when Japan makes 70% of its money overseas, when they sell something overseas with a dollar or a euro that's weaker against the yen, they're actually losing money. And just to put it into context, because people, are worrying about Sony's, viability and if they're doing well. Nintendo lost $924 million last quarter. So almost the entire amount of money that Sony's losing for the year, Nintendo lost last quarter. So it could be worse.
Yeah.
But it's still not very good.
But it's not terrible.
Still not very good at all.
Still not good.
And it's not, these aren't coming from the game. It's not PlayStation.
No, it's not PlayStation. PlayStation is apparently fine.
Okay.
It's just television sale, poor television sales.
Gotcha.
And the strong yen, which is interesting. If the yen was strong and they sold 100% of their items in Japan, then they'd be making a lot of money. Number four, SideQuest Studios, the developer behind Soldner X, which is a fine
game. I love Soldner X's.
Himmelstürmer and Final Prototype.
I'm sorry, man. No, I was just going to say, is that the one that has like the 15-minute long
intro?
Yeah.
Remember when you came over
on
that time? Yeah. And like went and got food and then came back and it was like still going.
It's so true.
And it has like the awesome. I'm gonna go play that when I get back downstairs because it's awesome. SideQuest Studios, the developer behind blah blah blah, is hard at work on a new game. It's called Rainbow Moon, and it's a PSN exclusive strategy.
Got a good name.
Set for release in early next year. I agree. It will purportedly take 30 hours to get through the main mission and 100 hours to do all the side quests and everything else. That game looks cool. It looks like it's real time strategy. I'm not entirely sure because we only have screenshots. Keep an eye on that. SideQuest is super talented. I'm glad that Sony has wrapped them up for another exclusive because the Soldner X games are cool.
Soldner X is work cool. You should get those if you haven't already.
We gave it Soldner X, Himmelstürmer,
X2
8
is
and the Final Prototype at 8.5.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they're actually bundled together for like $12 on PSN. Number five, Dark Souls is selling quite well. Namco Bandai and From Software have shipped 1.5 million copies worldwide.
Shipped!
Yep, shipped, including 620,000 here in North America and 470,000 in Europe. It's important to note that From Software published the game in Japan, not Namco, and it's only on PS3 in Japan. But those numbers do encompass everything. And that's pretty well. Yeah, but like Greg said, it's shipped numbers, but retailers wouldn't order them.
Yeah, they're not ordering these many games if they're not selling them.
So you can take that one to the bank.
I think for the first time in a long... I forgot about Skyrim. I was going to say, for the first time in a while, I see Demon's Souls on my shelf, and I'm like, I'm getting close to playing that. Like, it's like, I'm starting to knock things
Demon
off the
or
list.
Dark?
Dark, sorry. Dark Souls.
Yeah, I played it for a few hours. I was like, this is just as boring as Demon's Souls.
Well, I want to give it a shot. But I just remembered Skyrim's coming up.
Number six. November's North American PlayStation Plus perks have been revealed. Right now, PS Plus users can download Hydrophobia Prophecy for free. And all four Crash Bandicoot PS1 classics.
So Bandicoots.
Bandicoots.
Number seven, Wii's Resident Evil on-rail shooters are coming to PlayStation 3, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles and Resident Evil The Dark Side Chronicles, which came out in 2007 and 2009, respectively, are being bundled onto one Blu-ray disc. The game will support PlayStation Move. There is no word yet on its release date. That was out of Famitsu, by the way.
I will say, the Move, great for on-rail shooters. It's like a light gun.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah, it's funny. We keep talking about Move games. I just Colin has been playing Deadman's Quest. I need to start playing Carnival games. See if we even need to review that.
Yeah, probably not.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't know. We've
write
it
to Beyond
times.
At IGN.com. Remember, a conversational podcast. If you need a Carnival games review, let me know, and I will just give you I'll give you a Twitter review. And then I just reviewed House of the Dead Overkill. And the thing I found is, Clements.
Yes.
Last Move, like, centric games I've used, right, were House of the Dead Overkill and Dead Rising. Dead Space Extraction. I reviewed both those.
Got it.
Like, in both of them, I said in the review, like, oh, these are some of the best reasons to own the PlayStation Move. Both those games got 7.5s. iPad, I think, has an 8. That's, like, the only... And I'm talking, like, games that are primarily designed for Move. Not, you know, it's in Resistance, it's in SOCOM, it's in Killzone, it's in Infamous now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about games that are designed for the Move. We're still saying, oh, man, 7.5, best reason to own a Move. It's like, ah.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not saying the Move is a good idea to buy. I'm just saying that,
I wasn't turning it on you. I was just making an interesting observation.
And say you were to receive a Move and a PlayStation Eye for free.
Ooh, what'd you say?
Then, you know, then you suddenly have more options for light gun style games.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. And you can also play, what was that strategy game that came out that used it? What the hell was it called?
Ruse.
Ruse, right. I tried to play that game.
Yeah, you were really excited for it. You really wanted it when we got all those Move games in.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number eight is a new God of War game in development. A job listing seems to have outed it. Quote, join the God of War team, the listing reads in part. Whether or not the team that made the God of War games is hard at work on a separate title or are indeed working on God of War 4 is yet unknown. But that listing is there for everyone to see on the internet.
The real catch for me was that it says join the God of War team, and then the project is : God of War, right. Which is interesting. When it says God of War team, I'm like, well, they could be doing jet ski scoodoos. They don't care.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably are working on God of War 4. It's disappointing, though, because I want them to do something else. The same thing I feel about Guerrilla. It's like, what else can these guys do? These guys have made nothing but Killzone and, like, Vietnam 67, whatever the fuck that game was called. On PS2.
Ryan.
Yes.
You had something to say.
Yeah, but you actually took the joke that I wanted to make and made it, and you probably made it better than I could have, so I'm fine. I'm sorry. It's okay. I love when, a studio I feel that has a good pedigree. I mean, we say all you want about the God of War games, people still really like them, and they're pretty polished.
Beautiful.
It would be great to see them have the energy to do something new. Like, they just unleashed on a completely new IP, and they can take all their experience, and then they, I'm sure, I mean, that would be like us working on, you know, the same review for years and years and years, and finally you're allowed to do something else. I mean, it'd probably be pretty refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's probably pressure to sell games, so, and I'm sure they're worried about that, but, you know, Santa Monica is like a very active studio too. People forget. I mean, those are the games that they're developing, but they're working on so many games, like, as consultants and stuff like that. Like, half of the Vita catalog is coming out of there, you know? So, you know, that's just a made up number, of course.
Yeah.
But it seems like
it sounds right though.
But it seems like everything we play, it's like, yeah, Santa Monica is working on this, or San Diego.
You always have a Santa Monica that represent.
Yeah.
Whether it be Deb Mars or somebody else.
Yeah, indeed. Escape Plan's Deb Mars. Number nine, the official PlayStation Magazine UK has teased a big MGS related announcement that will appear in the next issue. What could it be?
Bum, bum, bum.
What could it be?
Well, I think I'm gonna have to already concede. I think we bet a pizza on this, didn't we?
I don't know. We bet something.
We bet. I will say we bet a pizza. You said it would be Rising.
No.
You said it'd be Metal Gear 5.
Yeah.
Oh, then I won the pizza.
Yeah. Well, how do you know?
How do I know? It's very simple. I follow Jeff Keighley on Twitter, and today,
what
right
the hell
before,
is that? That's not the same thing, though. He
right before this article, yeah. Or right before this podcast, I put up a news story because Keighley tweeted that Metal Gear Rising and a new Alan Wake game will show up at the VGAs in December.
Yeah, but how does that?
So they're finally making a push for Metal. They're making a push for Rising. Something's happening with Rising. Rising's getting a push.
I think. Well, all right. So the reason I think that it's not Rising is because Rising is multi-platform. And why would they tease this in PlayStation Magazine and then
Metal Gear's
nowhere
still
else?
A PlayStation franchise. People still think of it as a PlayStation franchise.
I'm just going to stick by MGS5.
Oh, fine. I can't wait to enjoy my pizza.
You enjoyed the pizza I bought for you yesterday, too.
I did. That's good. But that's different. We trade pizzas.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
we do often trade pizzas.
You guys are adorable.
Number
your
10.
Pizza trading.
So, it is adorable pizza trading. Number 10, Sony has promised that there will be no PlayStation Vita shortages when the handheld launches. Yes. Speaking with All Things D, Sony's John Kohler noted that Sony has increased production materially since E3. Continuing that Sony has, quote, learned our lesson to make sure you have enough product, end quote. Most interestingly, however, Kohler talked to the blog about not worrying about Vita competing with 3DS or phones and tablets, stating that, quote, this is a larger game experience. We think we are insulated from the competition. It's pretty bold.
Bold.
I did write a very controversial Vita article kind of saying the same thing, that Vita is going to do a lot better than people think it is, and that it's not really competing with 3DS, but that it is competing more with tablets and phones. I don't think 3DS is competing with anything but itself right now.
They're different experiences, right? I mean, can we say that, or does that piss people off still?
No, there are different experiences. You get, you know, the first party games on 3DS and whatever else.
That's the Nintendo thing, right? I mean, like, you buy a Nintendo console for, you know, the big Mario, Zelda, Metroid, whatever, blah, blah. And I mean, I don't think I'm buying a Vita for, I'm not buying it to play whatever movie game tie-in either. You know what I mean? I'm buying it because I want to play Uncharted, Mod Nation Racer, stuff like that.
I'm playing it.
But I think there's more first-party stuff coming to the Vita than there is for 3DS.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm buying it to play Smart As.
No, you aren't.
Number 11, PlayStation 3 is the best-selling console in Europe in 2011. Strangely, Nintendo's financials revealed this, not Sony itself. PS3 is closing in on 360's worldwide sales with a year less on the market. A year less time on the market.
It seems like we've been there forever, though. PlayStation's always been right there trying to do it.
It does. It's someone linked me on Twitter to an article at a blog talking about, I guess, the most recently talked about numbers from the Nintendo financials, about Sony's numbers, and then Xbox's worldwide numbers as of last month. And the parity is only like maybe 1.8 or something million now, which isn't bad. So Sony's technically, with a year less time, already selling better than the Xbox. So I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen because it sells so much better in Japan. Xbox is totally banned in Japan, and it's abandoned.
Oh,
and it sells so much better in Europe. So I guess time will tell what happens there.
Yeah,
and
it will.
Finally, number 12, DC Universe is now free to play. If you care about that.
Bam.
Number 13, should we just save it for topic of the week and get through everything else first?
Wait, I do have one little quick news piece.
Please.
The thing that caught my eye yesterday that the PlayStation Beyond crew can tell you about is a mini, surprisingly, called Where Is My Heart? And it is a very adorable, like, spatial puzzle game that stars a little monster family trying to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And the music, the art style, the gameplay, it all looked really rad. And it's actually going to be free for PlayStation Plus members next week, several weeks before it launches proper on the PlayStation Network. Where Is My Heart? Remember, you can play that on your PS3 or your PSP.
Yeah, that game does look cool.
It looks really cool. So if you have a PS Plus membership, I'd say download it because it looks awesome.
Cool.
I haven't played it yet, so I can't.
We played it. I don't think it was this last GDC, but the GDC before that, we played it. And then, yeah, it was good. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then that is actually going to be one of the kind of expensive minis we usually poke fun at a $6.99 price tag.
Yeah, I don't know why it's just on PSN, though.
But,
yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could probably sell that as a proper PSN title.
Yeah, but it was weird. Corpse Party got its release date today, November 22nd. Mm-hmm. And I thought when I originally heard about that, when we were talking about it, I thought it was a PSN game. And they only announced the PSN release date today, so I don't even think it's getting a UMD, and it's a PSP game.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, this game looks great, but why wasn't...
I'm excited about that game, too.
I would love trophies in that. I would love to play that on...
Yeah, that game does look dope. Yeah. Definitely got
to
review that one.
Something to play for Christmas, or Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing I wanted to say, too, was Max and the Magic Marker, which I'm reviewing, and hopefully they'll go up tomorrow, maybe Monday. 21 bronze trophies in that game, as you know about. No silvers or golds. It's a rough one.
Silver and gold. Colin.
Yes.
We just talked a lot about PSN stuff, but if I wanted to go to the old brick and mortar and say, hey, mom and pop, give me a loaf of bread and that there NBA Jam, what came to stores? What would I know what to buy?
You go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editor.
Mom and pop, selling some bread.
Selling some bread.
They're going to make the bread this week.
Nothing on PlayStation 2. PlayStation Portable gets Fate Extra, which Ryan Clements will be reviewing.
Clements is on it.
I'm working on it.
It's a little RPG.
That had an alarmingly paced intro. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Alarmingly.
What does that mean?
That means, and I loved this in a way. For a gamer that's sick of the just get right to the action, we don't care about actual pacing, It took me 45 minutes before I saw an actual battle in that game, and then after that battle, I finally got to the title screen. So
sounds like Xenosaga. Sounds like Final Fantasy 13.
Well, not the title screen, but I mean like where the credits start rolling, and then it shows like the title of the game. So the intro credits, I should say.
Yeah, right, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. That game is very interesting. I'll have a lot to say.
Did
about
you play
that.
As the Fox Girl?
No, I actually, because apparently she's like the hardest one to use, so I chose the middle.
The mage. Okay.
Or the warrior.
So there are 12 games on PS3 this week. NASCAR Unleashed.
NASCAR!
NCIS. Sonic Generations, which we gave a very good score.
Shit, I forgot about Sonic. God, I want to play Sonic,
Cabela's
too.
Adventure Camp. Air Conflicts Secret Wars. Family Game Night 4. Uncharted 3, that little chestnut. GoldenEye 007 Reloaded.
Hold on, stop right there.
Yeah.
We got to call some... We got to help somebody out here real quick. Hold on, I got to look at...
Help my friend.
Here we go. Luke writes beyond@IGN.com. Remember, if you want to be part of Podcast Beyond, we're a conversational podcast. Email us at beyond@IGN.com. Luke says, I've noticed lately that certain reviews, like GoldenEye Reloaded, don't have scores attached. Is this a new thing among IGN, or will it eventually go over to all reviews? Luke, I think you probably either, one, looked at the review too soon after it went up. Maybe, sometimes our system doesn't put it in right next to it. Or two, we're on the mobile site, and the mobile site's still working out some kinks. Every review at IGN should have a number. If you ever don't see without a number, refresh, check back, switch over from mobile to full site. Something's wrong there.
And if it's still broken, email us.
Yes,
email
us at beyond.com.
Yeah, I think people are having problems with the mobile site. If it was up to me, no review would have scores. Moving on.
Colin's controversial opinions.
Greg and I always talk about how I don't want scores on video games.
Yeah.
So people read the text.
Yeah.
Scores
are helpful.
I wish people read it, but I like the scores. I do like scores being there.
I do too.
I just don't like the people who only look at the score and then yell at me and clearly didn't read anything from headline to score.
Yeah. The thing, a game like Naughty Bear, for instance, it's like obviously that game deserved like a poor score or whatever because it didn't run well and stuff, but it's still a cool game. And like, so there's got to be like a place for caveat. You know, and
it's a cool game, all right.
And nuance.
You knew it just to make me mad. It wasn't a cool game. It was a cool idea.
I love that game. It's one of the best games of last year.
No, you're not. Now you're just doing it to piss me off, and I know you are.
One of the best games. It's on the back of the box now.
IGN.com. Lord of the Rings War in the North. We gave that a 7. Motion Sports Adrenaline. I don't think that's going to get a review. Generator Rex. Now, this looks like a children's game, and I'm going to have to look at the trophy roster for that. And finally, Cabela's Survival Shadows of
Two
Katmai.
Cabela games.
Yeah, that's correct.
1 week.
Yep.
Don't they understand not to flood the market?
Nope.
Oh, man.
That's it.
Ryan.
Yeah.
What did Jeff Rubenstein post in digital form today?
Here's what we got. We got Hydrophobia Prophecy, as Colin mentioned. Pinballistic.
Yeah,
like,
I played
it's
that
like
a
ballistic,
little bit
but with pinball in front of it.
It's a pinball game. It's totally cool. I think Kreat made it, right? The guys that made...
Crete?
Crete, is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I always say
it. I always thought it was... what was the other one that I was mispronouncing for a while, and then we realized that it was?
Insomniac.
Oh, she, yeah.
And
the developers, yeah.
But the thing about that pinballistic game is that studios are working for this new model. It's like that online elemental card game that came out a few weeks ago that was like $1. Mm-hmm, you have to like buy extra content for the game. It's actually that studio had already made that test yourself like psychological game or whatever that you had to like buy all the test packs for. Mm-hmm. So it's like you buy in cheap, but you don't have much content. We're not actually going to review it. But it's cool. It's a functional game if you want to spend money.
It's interesting also if this ends up being a trend, how reviews will have to change. Because that's like kind of the trend in Korea is like it's all micromanagement, microtransaction-based games. So very interesting.
Yeah, we're going to have to, I mean, if it keeps happening like this, we're going to have to discuss it. But I don't think it's fair to review Pinballistic because it's basically just a shell, you know?
Yeah, a shell which you load up with more content.
Indeed.
Yes. Max and the Magic Marker, as Colin mentioned before. Also, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe is now digitally available for download, and it is free to play. Then, moving on, we have some PS2 classics, I think?
Yes.
Yep. Raiden 3, mm-hmm. or Raiden 3. Blood Rain.
Great.
And Harvest Moon Save the Homeland. I have such a soft spot for the Harvest Moon.
Yeah, Harvest Moon's good, but they got to do better about these PS2 games.
Yeah, they have to get some bigger hits.
We're going to write about that next week, I think. Right?
Also, there's just as a little side note, would you like to put a little note here?
Sure, to the side. Right.
To the side. Yeah, okay, yeah. Put it off to the side. But there are 31 pieces of Uncharted 3 downloadable content.
Hell yeah. Today, and actually, that answers this week. Another question. You go ahead and find it. Is that all you're going to say? You're just going to say?
That's all I was going to say. All
right, well, then, hold on one second. I want to look for the kids. All right. Mike writes into beyond@ign.com, and Mike says, Beyond. My name is Nichol. I think he misspelled Michael. And to get right to the point, I was wondering if the skins I bought for Uncharted 2 multiplayer would get transferred to Uncharted 3. Mike, they will not. They will not get transferred whatsoever. The 31 pieces of content that are out currently are, in fact, the legacy skins from last time, or old Elena, blah, blah, blah. If you're the Fortune Hunter Club, though, you can jump right in. You can do it right away.
Cool. Moving on. I don't know why that was funny to me. On the PlayStation Store for PSP, you got Fate Extra, as was mentioned, I am reviewing right now. And then a mini that Rubenstein created with his lovely wife and their little baby. You ready?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We have Fighting Fantasy, the Warlock of Firetop Mountain.
Whew. Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's a hardcore one
there's
for
a description.
Jeff. Oh, God.
Now, the description isn't as good as some of the classics, but okay. I would like to still read it as tradition.
Gotcha.
Is that all right with you
yes,
guys?
Yes, please do.
Fighting Fantasy, The Warlock of Firetop Mountain, revisits the iconic first entry in Steve Jackson and Ian Livingston's 16 million-selling Fighting Fantasy saga.
That's pretty good. That's a good description. It's still going.
Yeah. with an intuitive inventory system and a logbook to aid you in your endeavor, this is the perfect way to relive the classic adventure that started it all.
Wow.
A logbook.
An inventory system and a logbook. Buy our
Those
game.
Those are the selling points. I'm snotting all over the place. So, yeah.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick.
Pick of the Week.
The Week.
Pretty easy. Uncharted 3.
I'm going to have to go with Motorsports Adrenaline.
Would you now? Okay. Well, no. Uncharted 3.
Greg, is there anything in my nose right now?
No, you look good.
Yeah, look okay.
One nostril's bigger than the other. That's weird. Never noticed that before.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's what I just look like.
All right.
Hey, real quick, before we get into Toto's up, I forgot to do this last week, but I want to call out some cool things that are on IGN right now that people should read.
Oh, right.
Number one, I was watching it this morning, finally. Clements plays Little Big Planet 2. Now, this is a great video.
Is that another one of those going up today?
Yeah, we
should have gone up like right now.
Yeah, so there'll be two of them then. They're very funny. Ryan basically just goes on Little Big Planet, plays the newest, like the newest uploaded stage.
I think it might be randomized, actually.
Oh, is it randomized?
It's just a lucky dip.
Yeah, he puts it like lucky it, dip and then give him whatever.
Oh, okay. And then he commentates over it. It's very funny. Very funny. The love seat comment especially was very funny. Greg had an exclusive on Metal Gear Solid Collection, and he posted all the trophies, so you should go check them out for Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Here's an interesting one about that, Colin. You know, I posted them. I waited for my embargo to lift because I'm a good little boy. And somewhere else, I was looking to see if anybody else had already. Some people break embargoes, so it'd be easier for me not have to write them all out by hand. And I found the Xbox 360 list of achievements. However, they gave the Xbox guys 1,000 points. In far fewer trophies, whereas the PlayStation Network has 3 platinums, 3 trophy lists spread out between the games. Very interesting. That's the end of that story.
What's interesting is that there's like dirt on the bottom of my cup here,
like inside or
yeah,
on the bottom.
Inside, like it's floating.
It's like sediment.
Yeah, but it's like little, that's really sediment. That's fantastic. Very good. I'm gonna.
Maybe you should wash it out once in a while.
I like rinse it out every day.
Conversational podcast.
Yeah, please. Do.
I had a dream about you guys last night.
Of course you did.
All right. Yeah, I absolutely did. And we were on like a, we were going to an event. It was like a, you know, out of town event. So we were all at a hotel. Now, by the way, this dream segued into a college misadventure sort of movie. Mm. So that's neither here nor there. But in this
a
dream,
la back to school.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, back to school is college, actually. Okay, go.
So in this dream, I kept forgetting where our hotel was. And you guys would, you know, like, oh, Clements, and you'd give me the address for the hotel, and I would, you know, I would go back to the hotel. And then one time I forgot where it was, and I just ended up wandering the city that we were in for hours until I finally randomly ran into you guys both, and I was like, I'm glad I ran into you guys because I forgot where the hotel was again.
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, wow.
That was the dream.
Okay, wow, that's interesting.
I had a dream the other night.
Was it about boning?
No. All right. It was a weird dream, though. I don't think I only messaged the people that were in it on Facebook, some old friends of mine from Long Island. I was in a band in like high school and college. And we got back together. The band got back together, and we were a Limp Bizkit cover band.
Nice.
but the thing was is that, and we weren't, we played like alt rock. We didn't play like that kind of stuff at all. But the crazy thing, we played Gold Cobra, which is like their new song, that song with that funny video, and it was awesome. We were like really good.
Oh wow!
And then I love that.
Yeah. Then I woke up.
I always feel
back to sucking.
Yeah. Yep. I always feel really depressed when I have a dream where I'm actually talented at something, and then I wake up and I'm like, well. Can't do that.
I'm not
can't
good at that. That. Nope. I still
stand by the statement that I learned how to rollerblade from a dream that I had that instructed me about rollerblading.
That's awesome.
No, I'm not even. That's this is amazing. Like, I'm not even story. Joking.
That's an amazing story.
Do you remember this story?
I've never heard this story.
I've never heard this story, dude.
Really, that's an amazing story.
I couldn't rollerblade for the longest time, and then I had a dream where like the spirit guide like showed me how to rollerblade to like the point of where like. The blades were attached to the ground, so like no matter where I moved, like I couldn't fall over. So I was just like experimenting with finding my balance, and like the next day, man, I woke up, you put them on,
and you were ready.
I was like ready to go.
Were you doing the backwards rollerblading?
I wasn't like somersaulting or anything.
That's probably
the
best story I've ever heard.
I was rollerblading.
Pretty amazing. That's the best dream, yeah, for sure. I could go for some instruction. Learn Spanish, or go to bed, learn Spanish.
It was akin. I compare it to the way Neo learned Kung Fu in the Matrix.
Oh, you just woke up, you're like, I know rollerblading.
Yeah, I know rollerblading.
All
right. Show me. Get on the rollerblades.
So there you go. In our rotating segment here, just the tip. We have a just the tip from Carl. Carl writes in. He says, Beyond. Do not play Disgaea 4 for trophies. Period. End of message. Thank you, Carl. Good
there
tip.
There we go.
Yeah,
good
that's obvious, I think.
One of our own GameSpy Tech employees, Sean, is a Disgaea fucking obsessive dude.
Uh-huh.
That was a terrible way to put it, but I mean, he's basically completely.
I've talked to him.
Completely obsessed
with
Disgaea.
What did you explain it? What did you describe him as?
He's a Disgaea. He's a fucking Disgaea obsessed dude.
Okay.
And he like ranked within like the top 100 people in terms of like the raw strength of the strongest character. That's how the leaderboards rank you. Is like the strength of your character.
And he was in. I'm sorry. Where did he rank?
I think he was like in the 50s or something in the world or whatever. So it was crazy. I mean, the dude is. How many plats do you have, Colin?
23.
Yep. And how many of them are in dumb children's games?
Maybe half of them.
Yep, there you go.
A few more stories. Vita game handheld boxes.
Yep.
So that's all it says on my list here. But what that means is that Mark Nix, our database engineer, a wily fellow, was on Amazon yesterday, found the box art for 8 Vita games. It's not final box art, but it looks like it's probably going to
be final
box
art. Gives you a good idea of what they're going to look like.
As well as the North American package for the game. I like the blue. It's like a light, almost sky blue, little darker hue of the bar. It says PS Vita, PlayStation Network next to it.
Yeah.
Only on PlayStation underneath it. So that's pretty cool. Yesterday, Andrew...
I'll never own one of those boxes.
Yes.
Digital everything.
Really?
I don't want these dumb cards.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure we're going to get them in the mail.
You got a card pack, Colin Chardon. You open up your jacket and you have like all these Vita cards.
We'll
remember those days?
Remember
Game Boy when you had to carry on like a fucking briefcase?
Yeah, totally.
Andrew Goldfarb, our new news editor, posted a story about Sony's patent on biometric controllers, which hopefully will never come out.
Great dude, that Andrew Goldfarb.
He is
I like Andrew.
Right.
Oh, all right.
Nah, I'm kidding. I love Goldfarb.
I posted a Kingdoms of Amalur exclusive preview a couple of days ago. That game looks really, really cool. I spent a couple of hours with it deeper into the game than I think people have played so far. That game looks totally rad. and I think it'll be a lot of fun when we finally get our hands on the final build. And leading into our toe-toe-toe topic of the week, we have Grand Theft Auto 5 coverage up the yin-yang. And
tons of it.
And now it's finally time to talk about it.
Topic of the week.
Toe-toe-toe.
Grand Theft Auto 5. Finally revealed.
GTA. Very excited.
Clements.
Yeah.
Tell me what you thought of it. Me and Colin have talked exhaustively about Grand Theft Auto 5.
I'm the most apathetic person on the planet about it.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not actually. Though, I will say that I have never, I've never beaten a Grand Theft Auto game before.
Jeez Louise, that's crazy talk.
I was very much not in the belief that Grand Theft Auto 4 is a 10, much in contrast to our own Colin Moriarty here. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed while I was playing it. And after watching that trailer, I'm super interested. I really want to see how it goes. Though there was some speculation, which I'm sure we will get to in a moment, that you will play multiple characters in this game. I believe that was one of the theories.
Yeah, that's a speculation.
Now, I don't like that idea. Because in a game where you're sort of like supposed to be a singular character and you're like sort of going through this massive thing, I generally don't like then when you suddenly swap. Like it's all or nothing. You're either the one character through the whole game, or you have like a party in like an RPG, and so you're playing all of them together. But I don't like the whole like you're playing as one character, and then as you get really cool and you have all these weapons, oh, now you're this new guy.
What about Metal Gear Solid 2?
Well, that was.
But those were like defined moments, right? Like those were, you didn't switch back and forth. That was like two games almost.
Yeah, I mean, and that was also almost the snake portion of MGS was MGS2 was more of a prelude, I feel, to like the proper game.
Okay. That. I gotta agree with Clements on this one. I would prefer one person. Yeah. I would rather if we just went.
I think I like the idea. I mean, having marinated on it a little bit more. I mean, we got up, you know, at the ass crack of dawn yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're in here kind of speculating about everything. Watched the trailer live. Did all those things. You know, speculated about it.
If you haven't looked at our coverage yet, especially just video stuff, Colin and I did a live stream for the trailer reveal. There's 30 minutes of us talking about GTA in general, answering your questions from Twitter, and then there's 30 minutes of us watching the trailer, breaking it down over and over, going back, talking to people, bringing in commenters, and then there's a rewind theater unto itself, kind of pooling together most of the hard-hitting stuff.
Indeed. You know, and kind of having marinated on it and thought about it more and stuff like that, and we know very little. The trailer shows about a minute of footage.
I still think it was a lot more than I was expecting.
I agree.
From a Rockstar trailer.
Everyone was saying that. I thought it was going to show us quite a bit just because it's like they teased it, and it would be totally lame to tease something that they don't tell you anything. We don't know the release date. We don't know, you know, even the platforms. I assume
next
it'll be
month.
PS3 and 360. That'd be awesome. Would it be like
there's
December 10th? Be like, oh shit. So
to be fucking reincarnated.
So I'm excited about the prospect of playing as Tommy Vercetti again. I'm not super.
We'll talk about this. We're talking about it as if everybody's seen it. So it's this trailer. Yeah. Obviously.
I hope you have seen it by now.
Whatever. Real quick recap. It seems to be set in the present time of a way. There's themes in there. The haves and the haves not, as Colin kept saying. People struggling with money, the foreclosure, housing market, stuff like that. And there's an old man talking. He's not an old man, but he's an older man who we think might be Tommy Vercetti. Some people are saying that Tommy Vercetti would be too old. Of course, Tommy is the Vice City protagonist. Some are saying maybe it could be Claude. There's a whole bunch of things out there. We don't know exactly, but basically this guy's been pulled back into a life of crime.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, what suggests to me that it's someone we know is because of the way he talks to you in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know?
It is very familiar.
Yeah, because it's like, I was this guy, and now I was this other guy, and now I'm going to be that guy again. You know? And it's like, why would I care about any of that if you're just going to thrust me into this story? Like, why is that the crux of the issue? Why is that what you want to show me and tell me first?
Yeah.
Like, the first thing I see out of the game is... I think that guy definitely looks like Tommy Vercetti. Uh-huh. He would probably be about 60 years old. So that would
be awesome. I'd love it if you had like a elder protagonist in a game.
Yeah, it'll be totally sweet. And the idea of maybe playing is, you know, we saw a guy, maybe he's CJ from San Andreas. Some people are speculating that maybe Luis from Ballad of Gay Tony is in it. Et cetera and so on. I like the idea of everyone coming together. I like the idea of multiple playable characters in a Metal Gear Solid like way, where once one story is finished, that's it. And then, like, you're moving on to the next, and then maybe at the end they, like, come together and make choices or whatever.
They're all concurrent until the very end.
It's a shame this is the last Grand Theft Auto game ever made.
I know, it is. But that's just such a cool idea because people, you know, yeah, all right, so Claude wasn't, like, we didn't even know his name in Grand Theft Auto 3. We found out about it later, and, people didn't really associate with him. He didn't even talk, you know, but, like, you know, people like Tommy Vercetti and CJ, so it would be cool to bring them back, and it would be even cool to see Nico and Roman again, or, I guess, or just Nico himself. So I like the idea of playing those characters. At the same time, I like the idea of playing as someone new too, but I don't know. Something tells me that that's Tommy Vercetti.
Let's look at this from a design standpoint. Obviously, Rockstar wants to capitalize on new players as much as possible, just like any studio that wants to maximize their profit. So they would... I feel like having a giant group of old characters coming together and the story is broken up between all these playable characters and you're flying all around, that would be super disorienting to someone that isn't intimately familiar with all the Grand Theft Auto games. You know, if you were suddenly playing as like Nico or you were playing as CJ from a game that's like, you know, three generations back or whatever, I mean, like, to me that would just completely throw off a new player, which is why I think even just having one old character kind of makes sense. As if he's given the right introduction. Mm-hmm. But as someone like me who has very little experience with GTA, I still kind of want to play it, especially after seeing how good that looked. I mean, to me, man, that game looked markably better than...
The trailer, there was so much detail on what they were showing.
Than Grand Theft Auto 4, when 4 originally came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's like, I mean, people think I'm being facetious or giving GTA 4 too much credit, but you know, Vice City is still my favorite Grand Theft Auto game, but 4 really was a 10 to me, and it's like, it's hard for me to imagine, like we always talk about 10s aren't perfect games, and like, obviously the gunplay and the on-foot stuff, like, could have definitely been improved in GTA 4 and stuff, but just everything in that game, it's very similar to Uncharted to me in the sense that it, like, pays attention really to characters and the little things, like voice acting and presentation and pacing and stuff. All that's really immaculate in that game, and it's if they can do that again, man, that's like another 10, you know, because it's like, Jesus, like... Like, how good can this game be? How can you mess up GTA 4, you know? If anything, they're going to make it better, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's a pretty exciting prospect to have, like, a game coming down the pipe that you know is like, wow, this game's going to be really impressive. It's like, you know, a Skyrim or an Uncharted or something where you're like, you just know that this game's
going to... You know that studio's proven, and now you're excited to see what they're going to do.
I mean, I think that the best developers in the industry are able to learn and improve on their own work. And so, just as we see with Naughty Dog, just as we see with the people at Blizzard, I mean, they've just gotten better over time. You know, with technical know-how and with just experience with, like, what works, what doesn't.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that Grand Theft Auto 5 will be the best Grand Theft Auto of all time. That's my prediction.
Yeah, and it's a scary prospect. I mean, in a way, you know, it's like Jesus. Like, Rockstar North is just so good, you know?
They're talented, too.
And, like the Rockstar family, you know, makes, you know, good games and then bad games. I really love Manhunt, for instance. I think Red Dead Redemption is, like, a really, really good game.
Red Dead's awesome.
And Manhunt 1, by the way, not 2. So, like, they, you know, but it's cool for them to go back to this series finally after giving us those DLC packs, which were really good on their own right. But
I never finished Gay Tony, but I really like Lost in Damned.
Yeah, Lost in Damned was cool. I think Gay Tony's better in a sense. But man, I want like an 80s Vice City kind of like sequel. But
what if they just repackage them as HD collections?
I'm sure they're going to.
That'd be nice if they did.
I can't imagine that they're not going to do that, you know?
What was the line in the trailer that we would always laugh at? Like, you own the city, Gay Tony. Is that what that line was? And it was like, the
that was one.
All right, good. I'm just thinking about
that
it.
That character was awesome.
I just laughed. Luis? Just thinking about it.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a given. You assume that this game, when we talked about it, you know, my first instinct was that maybe this game's ready, you know? Then we were talking about Max Payne coming out in the early spring. So maybe this game will be ready in the fall. And if that's the case, and they have time maybe in the summer to release, you know, 3, Vice City and San Andreas with trophies, mm-hmm. you know, on a Blu-ray. I can't imagine that they're not going to do that. That's like, that would sell millions of copies by itself. And all they have to do is like repurpose it and send some people to put trophies in it and like, you know, clean everything up a little bit, I guess. So,
yeah, it shouldn't be too hard if they're already doing the iPad version, you know, iOS version of Grand Theft Auto 3. That's right there. But we always say that and it never happens.
I would platinum. I'll tell you right now, I'd platinum all 3 of those games.
Really?
Yeah. I love those games, and I would love a reason. I haven't played any of the PS2 ones since college. I don't think I played 3 since high school.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I would love an excuse to go back and
even play when those. I was just capturing for the Grand Theft Auto 10th stuff, and I was playing 3 again, I was like, oh man, this is fun. Like, I was having fun again. But I don't know, it's one of those things, I don't know if I could go back and platinum again, because it's one of those, that was always my, when we talk about trophies and how obsessed we are now, I always wonder what it would be like if we would have had this when we were growing up, you know what I mean? And like, Metal Gear Solid 2, I played the wheels off, got every dog tag, took ghost photos, had everything, you know what I mean? And then HD Collection came in for review, and I started doing all the dog tag stuff now, and I look at that list, I'm like, I'm never going to end up doing all this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying.
You have to be Metal Gear Solid 2 without raising an alarm.
Yeah, I know. That's not, I mean,
that's hard.
I know, but you figure it's not impossible. They did that same stuff in 4. It wasn't for trophies, it was for butterflies mm-hmm. and whatever, you know, but like, you know, your insignias and your call signs. But
butterflies.
You could be, yeah, you'd, or at the, you, okay. Depending on how you beat the game, you'd earn a code name like Butterflies, Snake, something like that.
Got it.
All right.
Got it.
So we're all excited for GTA 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anything
definitely.
Else? I mean, it's one of the horses we've beaten to death pretty well. Yeah, I mean, but
just go read all of our stuff yesterday. Yeah. Watch the Rewind Theater.
Ray Liotta isn't the voice in the trailer. Yeah. That was one of our big things we debated during a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know anything, so I mean, hopefully we'll learn more soon.
Yep.
That's it.
All right. Reader mail.
Reader mail. Mail call.
Whoa, wow, that was a good one. That was a good one. I remember if you want to be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com. We take your questions all the time. A lot of Uncharted 3 questions in this one. At the end, we'll tell you how to win the Collector's Edition and the Ryan headphones. Don't worry about it, obviously. We're not going to spoil any. There's no spoilers here. If you do want Uncharted 3 spoiled, however, we are planning an Uncharted 3 spoiler cast, where we get in a room, we do a one-off episode that isn't the weekly episode, and we just talk about everything that happens in the game so that, you know, if you want a question there, we're trying to get Naughty Dog in here to do it. Send us questions about it. Put it in your thing, you know, beyond@IGN.com, and then subject line Uncharted 3 spoiler cast. Ask whatever questions you want. We'll get them in the air. We'll get it all packaged. Hopefully, sometimes next week we'll get it out, but it's crowded out there. We'll see what we're up against. First question, not about Uncharted at all. It's someone who only wrote in as disappointed, taking Greg Miller to task. Beyond. I'd just like to remind Greg that when he bashes the new Zelda and claims he has no interest in it because of waggling, he further shows his ignorance. You people have to understand that waggling is not what Zelda Skyward Sword requires. It's nothing like Twilight Princess. It's sad to see gaming journalists with such dangerous preconceived notions. It's for reasons like this, and people like you, that Zelda Skyward Sword has no chance for Game of the Year, even if it literally is the greatest game this year, .. because most of you voters would never know. Shameful. Sincerely disappointed.
Very traumatic reading.
Thank you. I like that. I got disappointed. Get your panties out of your crotch. All right. Nice.
Fair advice.
I love Zelda. Zelda is one of those franchises I totally dig. I like Zelda more than I like Mario. I am very excited to play a Skyward Sword. Rich has already told me I have a copy coming. I am very excited about this. I will play it. I am very turned off by waggling. And I don't mean waggling as in the Twilight Princess meme. I mean waggling of any kind. If it was coming to PlayStation and it was a PlayStation Move title, I'd be telling you, oh man, I'm excited to play Zelda, but I do not want to use the Move. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, personally, I don't want to IR sensor anything on the wall. I just want to use joysticks. I want to use dual analog controls.
Yeah.
People are going to play Zelda. It is Zelda. Don't worry about it. It's going to have every chance for Game of the Year, as every other game has, against Skyrim, which will probably destroy everything.
That's just real talk, I guess. You know,
it's total real talk. I don't like, I mean, I know we talk about this once in a while, Colin, that we ham it up on the podcast and stuff. No one is sitting here saying they will never play Zelda because it requires waggle. I'm sure somebody has said that. I'm definitely not saying that. I am definitely going to play it. The whole time I'm playing it, I will be wishing I was probably, well, I don't even know. That would be a preconceived notion, which I do have about the game. I do think the game looks bad. I wish it was in HD. I see people playing it, and I stopped and watched Jose over at 1UP play for a while. I'm like, man.
Yeah, I mean, the game.
GameCube, huh? We're still with the GameCube.
Well, yeah, I made a little joke when I was with Greg. I'm like, man, it definitely doesn't look good, but that doesn't really matter. So.
Exactly. No, because gameplay's king, and we don't care. And it was interesting to see Sam, who's a huge Zelda fan and a Nintendo Voice Chat correspondent, he tweeted the other day about how bad it looks, like how bad like Zelda looks, just graphically going from, you know, coming from Uncharted, coming from anything current. Go to play that.
It's like, yeah, it's this point. I mean, that game was in development for a long time. But yeah, people have to understand, you know, we all have Nintendo sensibilities, even if they're not the same Nintendo that they used to be. And, you know,
we all grew up with Nintendo.
Yeah, right? I mean, Twilight Princess was the first Zelda game that I didn't beat, you know, because I hated waggling in it. But, you know, I'm a huge Zelda fan. You can read my Zelda 2 and Link to the Past huge FAQs on GameFAQs if you don't believe me.
Don't go to GameFAQs.
But just out of curiosity, do you ever give out your original like GameFAQs username for like guides and FAQs?
No, people can find it. It's not hard. Yeah.
Is it 311 dude?
311 dude, bro.
Dude, bro.
But no, I mean, I mean, it's just like, that's not the Nintendo that we grew up with. I'm not really interested in most of that shit anymore, but there is always going to be an allure of a Zelda game, and I want to see more of how it plays and stuff like that. The game certainly doesn't look riveting to me, and I'm concerned about how long it's been in development. I think that's an ample and logical concern when a game takes that long to release. We're talking about two Zelda games that basically flanked the Wii's release, you know.
Yeah.
And this game was supposed to be ready a long time ago, and it wasn't. So there's reason to be concerned about that. With that said, you know, it could be great. It can't be much worse than Twilight Princess was. So
Twilight Princess wasn't that bad. As somebody, as a big Zelda fan, my problem with playing it was, this is the same game. I'm so sick of playing the same fucking Zelda game. Do something different. That's why Majora's Mask was awesome.
Yeah, Majora's Mask is the best Zelda.
I think Ocarina is better. Mm. But here's, you know, you establish this character and this awesome, blah, 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 awesome story, and then you do something that's totally different. I like taking, my whole thing with Uncharted, right, is that Uncharted 2 was like, oh, it's the same fucking game again. And then Uncharted 3 is like, well, let's go this way. Let's do something different. Let's take the characters and relationships you know and take them into an interesting thing. Not hit the fucking reboot button every time we make a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the disappointing thing about Zelda is that it is what it is. And the only Zelda game that really deviated from that formula was, you know, Zelda 2. You know, so, which
we
many...
We need a reboot, man. Zelda 2 HD.
Dude, I love that game. I mean, you start the game, Zelda's like body is like right, like laying right in front of you. She's like passed out or whatever. You have to like go around this world, and it's like got RPG. Like you run into enemies on the overworld map, and then it's a side-scrolling game, and then you're back, like, and then you find dungeons and shit. That game's fucking dope, you know. But like Majora's Mask is my favorite game because it felt so different. Like Greg was saying, the feeling of imminent demise in that game was like unparalleled. You know, the moon is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have 3 days to do everything. If you're like in a dungeon and it's about, you have to leave and start again and stuff. Yeah, like yeah. I love that.
I loved that. That was
like
so cool.
That was so cool. Like you had a really, like, I remember getting.
I don't like time limits. They freaked me out.
I love it. Like when you were collecting fairies or whatever in the dungeons, like you really could only do that, and then you had to leave, and then you had to like do it all again. You know, because like you had no time to like dick around in that game, and that's what I loved. You know, Ocarina of Time is a great game too, but man, Majora's Mask is like the pinnacle of that series for me. Link to the Past is also a fine game.
All right.
What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny that reminds me of this is a very minor Deus Ex spoiler because Human Revolution.
He's got no arms! They're all my arms!
No, because it happens like right in the beginning of the game, so it's not a huge spoiler. But I love taking my time, and it was very evidenced by, at the beginning of the game, like, you know, after the intro sequence, your boss is sort of like comes over the intercom, and he's like, we need you at the helipad ASAP. There's an emergency. And then there's no timer. There's no visible thing on the screen. So I'm like, yeah, fuck that, man. I want to look around and check these vending machines out. I got ducts to look through. I got people to talk to. I do all this, and I find, and then like he keeps his like, you know, you need to hurry. Oh, the situation just got worse. Everything's terrible. And I'm like, yeah, fine. They're just trying to make me go along. And then as it turns out, I did, in taking my time, I like killed like 20 people.
Yeah, right there.
So
man, blood all over the walls.
I felt really bad about that.
Sorry, man. I was looking for a Milky Way bar on this vending machine.
Sorry, I went to the women's bathroom for a while.
I really wanted to patch that game, by the way, with new control schemes so I can actually play it. That'd be nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Let's get to some Uncharted 3 questions. Adam writes into beyond@ign.com, says, Beyond. I couldn't help but notice that the IGN Uncharted 3 video walkthrough was up before the game was even released. Are you allowed to do this for most games or only Uncharted? Me don't know how it work. Adam, it's different for every game. Most games put up embargoes and have certain restrictions on when you can capture, what you can post, so on and so forth. You saw it with Batman Arkham City. We were only allowed to post in total 10 minutes of footage before Batman's release date. So that's why on that Tuesday it came out, we put up all these videos, we put up the walkthrough, we did a live stream, we did all that. The catch with Uncharted was that Sony had to approve our footage beforehand for the video review and all that stuff. They don't see the content, they don't hear the voice work, they just get a cut together package basically of, you know, things happening on the screen. They can't hear what's happening, and then they say, okay, that's good, or this is a spoiler, take this out, or this is going to ruin somebody's experience, take that out. And then what happened is Sam Claiborne had already captured all the guide stuff. He had already done all the treasure locations. He had this guide completely ready to go. But the embargo was the day of release, so, you know, 11-1-11. And what happened is that there was that theater event where people got the game early on, so those kids got the game, and once they started posting things to YouTube, it was kind of like the Wild West. It's a nuclear arms race at that point, because once that content's up, there's search engine optimization and all that crap to worry about. So we saw that happening, talked to Sony, and Sam pushed all his stuff. So it's a coordinated effort. PR, Sony or whatever company it is, understands our restrictions, we understand their restrictions, but at some point something's got to give, and that's just what happened. Hopefully you didn't watch it beforehand. A lot of kids on Twitter, you're ruining the game. I can't stop watching it. Why would you ruin a game? Stop it, idiot.
Yeah, that I don't understand.
It's there to help you when you're stuck. Or like right now, I'm doing my crushing playthrough. Got my iPad open, every treasure location, going through, clicking them off. It's great.
How far along are you in the crushing playthrough?
Chapter 11. Just got to chapter 11 last night.
I was using a little reverse psychology on him yesterday.
Yeah, Colin kept walking in, and he's making cookies in the kitchen. He's like, you shouldn't even do this. I'm not going to do this. You shouldn't platinum this one. I'm not going to platinum this one.
I'm just amazed at like how is it really brutal? I mean,
no, I mean, like, granted, I'm not to some of the bigger set pieces, some of the bigger fights and stuff, but like me and Colin were talking, like, you know, I wasn't gonna spoil anything. This doesn't spoil anything, but if you want to jump ahead 30 seconds, because I'm gonna talk about a fight in like the early chapters when you come out of that well at the chateau, which you know from multiplayer if you've been playing multiplayer. Me and Colin were like, that was our first point, even on other playthroughs, where we're like, oh, this is kind of tough, yada yada yada. And I came up and I got killed a couple times, but then I basically, when you're playing Uncrushing, you play the game like just to win, just to live, right? So I climbed up and hold myself in. These guys just kept coming over the wall at one section. I was just able to sit there and shoot them to death and then eventually move out to the few guys who were trying to snipe me. And it seemed like that was the main thing. I'm still, you know, worried about things at the end. Like some of the end battles are like really tough, so it's going to be totally... Yeah,
there are like two particular battles, I think. Three in that game that I thought were even difficult, super difficult on normal. Yeah. So.
Here's one from Jesse Sessler. Jesse, love you, brother. Jesse writes in and says, Beyond!
Beyond!
Hey, Colin, Greg, and Ryan. I just got Uncharted 3 the other day, which is awesome, BTW, and noticed an anomaly on the game case. On the side, the spine of the game case, there's a little black square that usually says 1. It actually says all this time. Firstly, I have no idea what this thing is on any game case, but do you have any insight as to what all means? Thanks again, Jesse.
Regions?
Exactly. Usually if you look at your games, you have the little half globe there and it says 1, and it's telling you that this game is made for region 1, which would be us. Like, this is, us, North America. And then the thing, of course, is that games for PS3 aren't region locked. I could send you the US version. You could play it wherever you want to, so on and so forth. I think what they're doing with Uncharted is to save money or time or whatever, they're just putting all on there so that they can just send that one version of the game out to everyone. I'm assuming that this is what it means to me, is that if you bought Uncharted 3 in North America and you went back to England and you put in the PSN passcode, it would still work there. Whereas if you transfer that over, you know, the other way around, it necessarily wouldn't, because that code would, you know, be, if you bought whatever game that has an online pass but has a 1 on the spine, it wouldn't work yet. Mm,
got it.
So there you go.
That's like a little like legal label kind of thing. Like this is designed to work in the U.S. systems.
Colin.
Yes.
Brian has a question, and I think you might be the man to tackle it.
Okay.
Sites like Major Nelson provide lists of Xbox Live activity for particular weeks, detailing the most popular games being played for that week. I'm intrigued by these statistics, but alas, I have not been able to find any such lists for PSN. Do any of these lists exist? And if not, why are there none to be found? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast.
I, too, am intrigued by those statistics. And so we've tried a couple of different things to kind of give some, you know, a counterbalance to that for PlayStation gamers. Back last year and maybe early this year, I was going on PlayStation Network and looking at the top 20 sold games for all, like for PS3, PSP, and PS1 classics, and kind of trying to make my own original research based on those numbers that were updated so irregularly that we couldn't do it anymore because it was, like, super unscientific at that point. Then last month, PlayStation blog posted the top 20 games, I think, sold on PlayStation Network, and we did run a story based on that, and we'll try to get more original statistics based on those as long as they keep those regular as well. But there's like nothing like Major Nelson that tracks those numbers, and that's disappointing. You can find on other websites, like blogs and other gaming websites, and I honestly don't know off the top of my head which ones do it, or I would tell you, because it's cool. Some websites go on, like, you know, 10 or 20 PSN games that have leaderboards, and they'll go like every month or every 2 weeks or whatever and go to the last person on the leaderboard and then extrapolate how many people have bought that game or played it and been online with it. They do that with Stardust and Dead Nation and whatever other games have like huge leaderboards. And then you can kind of figure out how many people have played them. And that's also distressingly how you know that a lot of people haven't played a game, like a really good game like Alien Zombie Megadeth, for instance. When I bought it a week after it came out, there was like a few thousand people on the leaderboard. So yeah, we're trying to do something like this for
it's
you
just,
guys.
There's no shortcut. There's no easy workaround to it. And we're so busy with reviews and everything else that some things have to fall by the wayside, and this is one of those projects.
Indeed. So
also, Greg, I'm amazed. We've been recording for over an hour.
I didn't feel that time go by. It getting long. It's been a good show. We're having a good show.
No, I'm having a really good time.
All right. Well, I got it down, I think, the last three questions here. All right. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Josh writes in, Beyond.
Beyond.
Hey guys, been listening to this since the start and I love the show. I wanted to know what your opinion was on playing through the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. Would you play through the games in their quote-unquote natural order, MGS3, Peace Walker, MGS2, or play through them in the way they came out with MGS2, blah, 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 and so on? Thanks for the show. I wanted to point out that I just said blah, blah, blah. I got a tweet before that I apparently say blah, blah, blah in every podcast, and I was trying not to do it, but I said it there like 4 times. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Failed you.
I don't mind.
I went through a similar thing, Josh, when I'm reviewing the Metal Gear Solid Collection that'll be up next week, and I booted it up and I decided like how to do it. I went with the order of release because you figure every game, the next game, they tweak something, they figure something out as far as controls. So I didn't want to get spoiled because I think Peace Walker controls excellent even on the PSP, let alone now that I have another stick for camera control. So I didn't really feel like getting so used to the Peace Walker scheme and then going all the way back to two and have like, because in two you can, in three for two as well, you can't crouch walk, you know what I mean? Like you hit down and you crouch, and then if you try to move you go prone. It's like, damn it, I want to crouch walk, I want to be underneath this and be move me. So that's what I did. Got so it. I would suggest doing that. That's my advice for you, Josh. Anybody want to argue that advice?
No.
Colin, Chris Prado writes in.
Yes.
What's up, Beyond Crew? I'm going to get right to the point here.
Okay.
I could give two shits about Skyrim. Am I crazy? Yes. I don't understand why everyone is going nuts about this game. Please explain to me why I should care about it. Love the show.
Hold on. He's
just
not
like
crazy.
Friends was for me in the 90s. You guys are the highlight of my Thursdays. That is huge. Adorable. That's a huge endorsement, Chris.
Friends, no, but not Seinfeld.
And I don't think that that's crazy at all because everybody has their tastes. I mean, for a long time Let's just put it like this.
Greg, lay it down on the line.
I'm going to lay it down on the line. Greg and Colin aren't excited for Diablo 3. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I don't have a PC.
Right. Yeah, if it comes to console as rumored, then I will play it.
All right. But you're not excited about it?
No, because my PC can barely run Microsoft Word.
All right. This to me, that's the madness of the hour, is because I actually like stay awake reading like the Diablo 3 wiki. I'm just so excited about it because that's like the only way I can get more Diablo.
Gotcha.
And I am building a PC just for Diablo, basically.
Cool.
And StarCraft also. So I think that it's just people's preferences.
Yeah, everybody... but I mean, my thing is like I've been, you know, saying I'm not a fantasy guy. Everybody knows that. Blah, blah, blah. Skyrim hasn't been super on my radar stuff. But now that it's almost here, I am excited to play it. Like, especially to hear people talk about it and see how much you can do with it and see how good it looks. I'm ready to actually sit down and try it and hopefully get over my fantasy hump, or just hump the fantasy out of the hump.
I say hump the fantasy.
You say hump the fantasy? All
right. Also, I don't think Diablo's coming to consoles.
Diablo.
But. We'll see. So here, it's called Ruin, and it'll be on Vita. So here...
Ruin's awesome, too.
Yeah, it is. So here's the thing, bro.
Here we go. Real talk.
Skyrim is an experience. It looks like, right? I mean,
yeah.
When, you know, Charles and I went to Utah and we saw the game for the first time, it was when it was revealed and stuff like that. We were floored, you know? And if you're a fan of Oblivion, that's cool. Then you're obviously going to want to play Skyrim. But if you're a fan even of Fallout 3 in New Vegas, like I am, you know, I'm a Fallout fan.
See, and I was too.
Then there's no reason not to play Skyrim because, yeah, we haven't reviewed it. It's in the office. We can't really talk about it. You know, I've seen it now and, you know, being played and Charles is playing it and working through it. The game is so deep and dense that it's going to take you like 100 hours to see and do everything, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Now how exciting is that
to,
you know what
see
I mean?
And do everything? It would be way more than 100 hours.
Yeah, okay, so more than that. Yeah. You know, like I don't want to be too specific because Charles has told me how much time he spent with the game and how far he's gotten, and I'll just tell you that it's like it's insane. You know?
I'm estimating, as a person that has not even played Skyrim at all, that I can guarantee you it will take way more than 100 hours.
That the prospect of that to me is exciting, not only as a person who likes RPG and likes fantasy settings, because I like both of those things, but because, you know, for gamers out there that, you know, money, you know, it's, the economy's bad, money's precious, whatever. This is an experience. You can buy this game on the 11th and not be done with it until after Christmas, and you can play it every day. You know what I mean? Like, that's exciting, and it's not because it's multiplayer. It's because there's so much story and adventure and characters to find and all these locations to find. I love Fallout 3 in New Vegas because I especially love New Vegas because you start right on the map as opposed to being, like, in the vault in Fallout 3.
Right.
And it's just, like... Do whatever
nuts.
The fuck you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
there's a thing over here that you can do, but you can just cross the entire map if you want to. It's like, well, that's awesome in the desolate nuclear wasteland of Fallout, but it's even more exciting in the mountainous terrains of Skyrim, you know, with beautiful trees and snow-capped mountains and all these creatures running around and these people in towns. I can't wait. Like, people are not going to see me when that game comes out. I don't think you guys understand, you know?
Colin said yesterday he's going to have the pizza guy hop our back fence and just come up to his screen door.
Yeah, because I have, like, a sliding door in my room or whatever. And you know, like, I'm going to come to work and do my work and focus on all that. But, man, when I get home, you know, from 7 to midnight every day, you know, weekends, 12, 14 hours, I'm telling you, like, that game is going to be insane. And I will play
that game. Well, that's how I'm going to be with Diablo. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all, there are games that we obsess over.
I want to this is something I've been fighting, you know, cuz the Trophy Horde War for the first time in forever is competitive again. You know what I mean? Like we're actually looking at actually trading lead once in a while or whatever. I want to get trophies to make it competitive, but I really just want to sit there and play Uncharted multiplayer, which gets me nothing, which is sad.
I mean, there's a counterbalance to that, which is that, you know, I'm going to get the platinum in Skyrim, but that's going to take me
a
month.
No, I know that you're going to be out of the game for a long time.
Yeah,
I know.
And I'm not going to play anything.
If I can suck it up and do the Penguin game, I'll be pull ahead, no problem.
Dr. Doom's Megadeth
Dr. Blowhole returns again. Micah writes in for our final question. It's not even a question.
Okay.
I just thought Micah says, at beyond@ign.com. Mm-hmm. I just thought that so many people spend you questions with too little appreciation of you individually. Colin, I cannot reconcile how you look and how you sound.
I don't know what that means.
You have very, very intellectual things to say. Once again, you give incredibly accurate reviews. Also, I love how randomly stories come up about how freaking dedicated you are. I still cannot believe you wrote the entire Fallout 3 guide by yourself.
700,000 words.
You are truly a god among men.
Thank you.
Greg, you're funny, loud, intelligent, and most surprisingly, tall. Whenever I see a review written by you, I read it because it's funny and intelligent. We both like third-person action. Uncharted is awesome. Ryan, honestly, you're hilarious. And you said you have, quote, ambiguous sexuality, end quote. This hilarious fact coupled with your happy, happy voice and awesome appearance makes you awesome.
Mm, thank you very much.
Micah signs off. Hope this made you happy. I could have written longer pieces about each of you, but I figured you would not want to read it all. Bye.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Thank you, Micah. That's very touching.
Is it a compliment that I don't look how I sound?
I don't know. I guess.
I think it's because you look kind of like an East Coast badass, but you have the intelligence of the, you know, academic.
Of the Harvard elite.
Of the Harvard elite. Yes, exactly.
All right.
Wait, before I sign off with the song.
Yeah, I know.
Can I read these?
Oh, I'm sure. Is it reader mail?
Well, no, though it is kind of reader mail. It's the contest people. I figured I would...
contest are you going to win? We got to do the Uncharted contest.
I know,
but
can I
contest.
Do the worst contest first? Because this is, remember, for the Final Fantasy posters. This is the Porum and Palum fan fiction.
You're going to read them all?
No. Oh, I'm not even going to read any of them because they're all too long. But I just wanted to announce the winners, and I wanted those winners to send their...
mailing addresses.
Yeah, sorry this is taking so long.
I know. This is terrible. Anyway, we didn't get very many entries because writing Porum and Palum fan fiction is probably...
Not popular?
Probably a difficult task. So to Keith, who wrote The Truth About Final Fantasy IV, which I'm going to read a quick excerpt from. To Alec, who wrote, he starts his message with, it turned out to be close to 500 words. It's hard to write about anything with such a short restriction. Hope this is okay. And it's about them practicing spells behind in the Mycidian Hall of Prayer.
Very cool.
And Samuel, who wrote Mycidia Duodecum. You all won.
Mycidia
so the three of you, Keith, Alec, and Samuel, send in your mailing addresses, your full names and mailing addresses to beyond@ign.com with the subject mailing address for Final Fantasy giveaway. And just a quick, Colin, you will really love the truth about Final Fantasy IV that Keith wrote. It's about, you know, Porum and Palum, and they're trying to, you know, go on this quest and something. And one of them, I think, Porum mysteriously turns into crystal. And in order to save his sister, Palum has to travel across the world and join a pink-haired girl, a whiny white-haired kid, a woman with an Australian accent, and the only black man on the planet with a bird in his afro. And then he says that after being guided down a linear and uneventful path through mountains and caves for days, they meet up with a crazy old man in a dress with a pet owl, but this is no ordinary owl. It was a magical owl that transforms into a high-speed airship. So it's basically just the plot to Final Fantasy XIII.
Indeed.
And then it says at the end that luckily the script was thrown away, realizing the damage it would cause to the franchise, and Cecil's story was created instead. Little did we know that a shadowy figure dug through the trash to retrieve the script and destroy the fate of Final Fantasy 19 years later.
Well done.
That's just Keith's opinion.
Very well done, Keith. Also, just real quick, because I keep forgetting, maybe a month or so ago we had the contest to recommend me new post-apocalyptic or nuclear war books. We got an asinine amount of emails, and I appreciate that. I haven't forgotten about you guys. The winner will get a Persona 2 PSP code. I still have that code. I'm going to go through everything this weekend. I will announce the winner on Beyond next 214 next Thursday. And I will also, because people always tweet me and ask me, and I think people are interested on this podcast, what good books are to read in that genre, because there seems to be a lot of people that like dark-ass books like I do. I will just read the entire list of suggestions that I got so people can enjoy those with me. So I'm sorry about that. I haven't forgotten about you guys.
We also haven't forgotten Resistance 3 spoiler cast giveaways. Well, we remember we wanted to give that one time to breathe so people could actually get through and play it. Spoiler casts are meant to be put aside until you've actually beaten the game, so it wouldn't be fair to do it. I say we hold out honestly until end of January. So if you got it for Christmas or you got it for whatever holiday you support, there it would be.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
And play Resistance 3, for God's sake.
Exactly. So then, if you are listening to this in hopes of winning the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition, we're going to do something similar to the Resistance 3 spoiler cast. I just want you to send in whatever you want of you reenacting your favorite Uncharted scene. Could be a YouTube link, could be a drawing, could be an audio file, could be, I don't know what.
Please don't hurt yourselves.
Don't hurt yourself. Don't be stupid. But yeah, if you want to jump to things and grab your friend's arms, that'll be funny.
And what do they win?
They win the Uncharted 3. The entries will be pulled together. We'll pick out our favorites, and they will win either just the headphones by themselves from iFrogs.
iFrogs. Vertex headphones.
Or they will win the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition, which comes with the Drake statue, the art book, the belt buckle, all the jazz, the ring and necklace. Stuff we don't even have.
And Greg, where do they send these entries to?
Beyond at IGN.com, subject line, Uncharted 3 CE Contest. All right?
Well done.
Also, go download the Podcast Beyond home t-shirt. You get to go to the PlayStation Network store, RTTH5N44T22. Ryan.
Yes.
Take me home.
Just as in last week, how we were playing some Beyond Fend music, so again this week. Now, with the friend of Versus Essential, Access Immortal. This is Access Immortal. That's his stage name, obviously. His parents did not name it Access Immortal.
The Immortal Clan didn't.
So, Access Immortal's album, Birth of a Dream, I'm going to play a track off of. Again, did not have time to listen to this before the show, so I don't know which track I'm going to play, but it is off Birth of the Dream album. Once again, depending on what I can find, this may or may not include explicit content and or vulgar language.
Word.
But enjoy it. This is Access Immortal's song off of Birth of a Dream.
Beyond.
Yeah. This is Versus Essential. You know what I'm saying? Access Immortal. Ruxpin.
They try to fire me up, but I got an arsenal in the back of the truck. Shit that you wouldn't be able to duck. And I've been a threat. None of what I have you can base on luck. I'm in a game where it hurts to trust. And if they ain't getting paid, then you never getting played. Couple grand get you record spins 40 times a day. On the boulevard, they be vegetating, sniffing gay. The drama that got you cocked to spray. But locked away, I'll never be the person I was. Ain't trying to live that life. And what I did gave me power to write. Game tight, my initiative is real. It's an honor to fight. You worth this nigga, should retire the mic. I ain't really with the politics, the badass taste. I've been co-signed by lyricists, you couldn't relate. And I never had no album or the gear, never went that way. But the fans gave me love all day. From the school of hard knocks, I'm hard headed. And God said it, I'ma be the legend that you can't replace. Jealous niggas walk up on me, give me dap in my face. Never singing my people that would probably lay them to waste. Got felons who selling drugs and homies who's really thugs. You better recognize you gon' give me some of the cake. On wild and out, swinging rapidly, looking for something to break. Watching runners from the side of the race. Me and my team, the only thing that I care about. And worry about nobody, drop a couple of air mouth. Heart that you claiming you got, I got them and tear it out. For real, man, niggas better watch their mouth. Now I'm compromising what I really want. And it's making me loose, knowing my pen wanna write that truth. I never understand why people look around and they wanna be me. When I was younger, used to wish I was you. But I grew up and couldn't tell you why I was sweat kids. Cause looking back, couldn't verify what they rep is. Career wise, if you trying to stop me, you can't live. I wouldn't hesitate to be outside of your crib. I done did it in the past, I could turn back time. Back to being a juvenile, back to losing my mind. Back to the dude, I was experimenting with drugs. Back to the dude, only worried about the money and shine. Access words to the feeling, I put on a dope beat. I'm watching, you never catch me laying asleep. Haters ain't worth my time, the effort is cheap. I be keeping it close knit, what the fuck is the beat?
Yo,
this is crazy, son.
I don't know what to expect on this. You know what I mean? This album's gonna be crazy right here. You know what I'm saying? Access Immortal, Ruxpin, Birth of a Dream.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.